say we were jabbering?
We were jabbering.
I did say you were.
Jabbering, God. We don't jabber.
Ever?
Jabber, 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 jabber. Am I pushing the button?
Sure.
Okay.
The following presentation
so basically that
is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
Ow! Sorry
about that.
This project is extremely dangerous.
Stripper falls up their butts.
Goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord,
yes.
Carol the Cat,
Jeeper Jam,
the Giddy Geeker,
woo!
And Tiffany the Technician.
Hey, it's Tiffany!
Uncanny impression! I've never even heard her. She's got it perfectly.
Stop.
And now, damn right they shot first.
Damn right.
The hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Hey, somebody just bought tickets to the Geek Gala.
All right.
Woo! To the Geek Gala.
We saw tickets. All right,
we
no need for a podcast. Ticket. Let's just celebrate.
Oh, sorry. We saw the tickets.
Chicken everywhere. Episode 169.
69?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're here with Caleb Van Boris, like Boris.
Mm-hmm.
Nailed he's it. Part of the... Now We Are Fox's improv group, which is part of the Queen City Comedy Group, which we found out last episode is at queencitycomedy.com. totally go check out episode 168 so you can learn a little bit more about Caleb, because we're not going to let him talk at all this episode.
No.
But do come and join us on Friday. We're going to be at the University Hilton hanging out with him and the rest of the Queen City Comedy Group, which is specifically made up of the Now We Are Foxes improv people. And the best part of me saying all that
is a mouthful.
Now Are the Foxes, though.
Whatever.
Okay.
Something about foxes.
The, foxes.
The important There's part foxes. Is we're going to be there. Carol's the fox. And it's going to be free.
Free.
So come check it out. Buy alcohol. That way they'll let them come back again.
Yeah.
Love it because it's only 2 miles from Geek Gala headquarters. So, say hi, Caleb.
Hey, Caleb. I regretted doing that. As soon as.
So let's chat a little bit about the news. Is it true?
What?
I don't have anybody.
I don't have any geek people. Oh, we just sold another one. It's a run on ticket. Oh, no, that's the same one. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, it comes through twice. I don't know why.
Keep saying it, though. People will buy like crazy.
And another one. And another one.
And we're going to sell out, folks. We're going to go. We're taking out a whole new
thing. Was it a VIP ticket or a regular ticket?
Oh, now I have to open the email.
There's still one VIP ticket left unless it was just sold.
What do you get with the VIP ticket?
Oh, well, thank you for asking, Kayla. First of all, you get early access to the gala, so you get to come in at 6:30. So if you're one of those people who comes to the gala every year and always is in line for the caricature and then it closes, wah, wah, you can actually get in line early. Same thing with the photo booth as well as... the carnival games and the psychic card readers. So you get early access to that. You get your own reserved seat at a butlered table.
Butlered.
So you have people bringing you soft drinks and clearing away your stuff. You get a VIP swag bag, which as we learned last week, will include at least one, if not two copies of books from tour.com.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, and you get reserved parking spaces, so you don't have to fight for the crowd.
Well,
you get
nice.
To get front seat, so you know, all of that stuff, plus a personalized swag lanyard and the whole nine yards, and it's only $50, and it goes towards charity.
I might buy that one.
And it was Mikey, so Mikey bought.
Oh, don't pay attention to that then. That is all of the performers getting registered.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, because I was like, wait, that's Rich. Wait.
There's going to be lots of stuff. Wanda is working on the podcast.
Thanks,
today.
Wanda.
You got me all excited, Wanda. I thought we had sold a ticket while we were on the air. And
but if you go over to concarolinas.org right now, you can actually get the special code to get $5 off your
That's
ticket
right.
order.
Do it. Whoa. Do
so make sure you do that. Make sure you do that before October 1st so you get your free t-shirt.
T-shirts are good.
So we're going to go on. Nobody's died that you could see. You just
I was really worried when you guys were... We send this stuff electronically, like through Facebook and stuff, and I saw Rest in Peace and then Michael Sheen and David Tennant, and I was like, oh my God! The world is ending now! We can't do this! Why were they together? What's the story? And then I was like, no.
It wasn't
a bad
omen. It was actually a good omen. All right. So go ahead and talk about
that.
So, Amazon... Amazon has announced that they are doing a series based on the Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett book, Good Omens.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite books. I absolutely adore it. Oh. It's the story of the Antichrist, only he's accidentally put with the wrong family in the wrong city. And he's raised quite nicely by this British couple. And it's the story of this angel and demon who are trying to get the apocalypse going, but it's not working because the Antichrist is just way too busy with his very pleasant hellhound, who is just trained nicely as well. Oh, so it's a great book. There's a lot of Terry Pratchett to it, but there's also a lot of Neil Gaiman, and Neil Gaiman will actually be writing the show.
Oh, so, awesome.
And,
that should help, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Michael Sheen plays... Da-da-da-da. I want to get the correct parts here. I'm pretty sure David
Zod,
Tennant...
Right?
Yeah. No, this is Michael... This is Michael Sheen, not Michael Shannon.
Oh, thank you.
And it's Michael not Charlie Sheen. Sheen.
It's not Charlie
Sheen. Michael Sheen was in... Well, recently he was in Passengers. He was the bartender, but he was also in Frost and Nixon, where he played David Frost.
Yeah.
He's in that horrible Twilight film where he just overacted and ate all of the scenery. David Tennant plays the demon Crowley, and Sheen plays the angel Aziraphale. So... this is going to be a really, really great thing. It's a six-hour miniseries.
Wow.
They haven't... haven't released too much information on it other than they've cast these two and that Gaiman will be involved in the writing.
That's awesome.
All you need. Yeah.
So excited. In other news, Prince has his own Pantone color now.
Yes.
It's actually called Love Symbol Number 2.
It is a very pretty purple.
It's a very pretty purple. It's based off of the purples that he has worn, for years. The only problem that I have is that they're calling it Love Symbol Number 2 because it's based off the tattoo that he had on his face, which...
Oh, no.
When...
The Sony thing?
The little circle. Yeah, with the curve.
Yeah, the Prince symbol, basically.
Prince symbol, correct me if I'm wrong, when he originally had it tattooed on his face, we were told that it meant slave because he felt like he was a slave to Sony. Was not that correct? Now they're saying it's a symbol of love.
No, I thought he...
He actually had it written on his face at a concert.
Yeah, he had it. He had slave written on his face in the on the concert.
He couldn't get out of his Warner Brothers.
He actually changed his name to the love symbol number 2 to get out of the contract, which was why he changed it to the symbol. So that was actually more of a freedom thing for him because he was able to completely get out of his contract.
See, I'm sure that there were listeners like me who were confused. Please tell me you were confused, even if you weren't, so I feel better.
I'm actually looking at the purple right now, and it's nice,
purple,
but it's actually kind of muddy.
Looks like a normal purple.
It's also you're looking at it on your
phone. Yeah. So,
the Pantone, we would actually need
this
to
is hair color?
Buy the little... No, Pantone. No, Pantone is at the actual, when graphic designers are building...
I am correct. Okay. Yeah. I got confused. I thought that was Pantene when I was looking at it online. Because at first I thought it was a color, and I'm like, this is fantastic. Finally some recognition. And I'm glad that is the case. It's not hair color. It's not Pantene.
I'd probably dye my hair that color.
I'm
going to
go home now. Already.
Wait, I already have dyed my hair.
It's pretty close.
It's close. It's really close.
Yeah. Yours actually looks better, Carol.
Mine's
good for Prince.
Good for Pantone.
Good for Prince's family.
Sorry for your lost Pantene, because that would have
been a great shampoo.
I think we have a co-branding opportunity. Pantene and Pantone back again. I don't know. Pantene, do they do hair color? They just do the shampoo.
They just
do
shampoos. Yeah,
they're missing out.
Look at me. I'm not a fashion icon.
You know nothing.
But look at that gorgeous color on your hair, Matt.
Thank you. That's called aging.
Speaking of aging, Daniel Craig said he was done with 007.
Wrong.
He lied.
He's going to be buying a cup of senior discounted coffee at McDonald's in the new James Bond movie. It's going to be pretty sweet. We're excited for it. No, he is still like fit as hell. What's that movie that's coming out like this Friday?
Lucky
something.
God
Baller?
Damn.
No, what is it?
It's where they. It's where they
Lucky
rob
Logan.
Lucky Logan, where they rob the NASCAR event.
I like him because
he's in that?
He's in that, yeah.
He looks insane.
He looks insane, and I kind of want to see it just for the scene where he's in the back of the car going, I'm about to get naked. Naked. You're looking.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, so, how many, didn't he sign on for two?
Two more? After, like, this one and then another. Oh,
I think
man.
He signed on for either, good. I think a total of three.
I still haven't seen Spectre. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Don't.
Oh, you know what my problem is? Skyfall was just like that perfect Bond movie where I was like, you really could have the whole franchise, I'd be happy because I was like, that was just perfect.
Spectre is a lot of people sitting around.
Yeah.
No.
I was really on board the Idris Elba Bond train.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that would have been badass, but I guess Daniel Craig's good too.
Yeah, he's a good Bond. I mean, he is a good Bond.
Yes.
I always like my Bonds to be a bit harder edged. I didn't like the Roger Moore goofiness.
Yeah.
I actually like Timothy Dalton. So you're just like off in Wonderland over there.
Well, I have important news to share with you.
What did you?
And I really wanted to make sure I got it correct. And this is specifically for you, Carol.
Uh-oh.
I heard a report today, and I wanted to look it up and make sure that I wasn't being catfished or something like that. But I know your fear of sharks prevents you from going
shit
in the water.
Absolutely.
I wanted to tell you that there are approximately only 5 deaths caused by sharks annually, but cows kill about 22 people a year. So don't worry about the beaches, worry about the fields.
Well, I'm not going to the fields either. I usually don't go cow tipping.
Usually.
Usually. Depends on the night.
How drunk
I am. How much whiskey's in the house. Doesn't matter. I'll be one of those 5. I will. If I go in the water, in the ocean, yeah.
How do the cows kill the people?
I don't know, but it says cows kill about 22. I was going to say white horses. How did they do this? But it actually just says wild horses kill about 20 people a year. Cows kill 22.
That's crazy.
But crocodiles gobble up over 1,000 people a year.
I can attest to that. When I lived in Tampa, Florida, we would go around and we'd collect the golf balls at this golf club and turn them in for money, which we then go to the 19th hole and get for change it for coke. It was a whole little microsystem. But the gators would actually be right around like the water features, and they
How
would just
they
be
eat
ready.
Here?
And they're fast. When they hit land, they're actually fast. So.
Crocodiles, 1,000.
Yeah.
So here's the other thing. Wow. Hippos kill 2,900 people annually.
2,900?
Well, hippos in the water are actually very, very dangerous.
Ants kill 20 people annually.
I can believe that, because those suckers are evil. Ants.
And mosquitoes kill 725,000 people.
Well, that's
from
like malaria.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I understand that, but still, you know, I'm just saying, for every human killed by a shark, about 25 million sharks are killed by humans.
I believe that.
Well, I believe that too. And I don't want to go kill sharks. I just don't want to go in their neighborhood. They don't come into mine. So,
have to say that, like, with the crocodile things, my nephew's niece and brother and all those guys went on vacation to Key West, and they kept showing pictures of being at the crocodile farm and reaching out and petting the nose of the crocodile. No. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you people? No. Go back to the beach.
It's like I saw a YouTube video with this kid at a zoo, and he's at the lion cage, and the lion is like doing the cat thing on the window, and it's still like this little toddler, this little 2-year-old, and everyone's going, oh, how cute, how cute. And then the lion goes, and tries to, like, get the kid's head in its mouth, but it can't because there's glass there. I'm like,
it's not cute.
It's not cute. That lion's trying to eat that child right now.
They actually said if cats were big enough, they would try to eat
absolutely. Yeah. Our kid, Sam at home, he looks at me now, and he's like, oh, just wish I was 80 pounds. I'd kill you right now.
But, you know, I figured with your fear of sharks that maybe it would make you feel better, and I have plans to buy you many cows now. So it's all good. Not trying to kill you, just trying to help
you
get over your
fear. Carol's meat market. Where I sell veggie burgers because I can't bring myself to kill cows.
So speaking about animals that could kill you, Kong and Planet of the Apes have a comic crossover planned?
Yeah. So, of course, Kong Skull Island has been all the rage.
Is it really?
It made some money. Yeah.
It made some money. Loki was in it.
I've not seen it, but they're going to do a sequel.
Some people loved it. I know you didn't like it, but some people loved it.
It actually did really well.
The effects were actually not bad. It's just that this, and this is coming from a person who watches Godzilla films, and like not the good Godzilla films, the 1970s Godzilla films.
I don't know what you mean by not the good Godzilla films.
They're all good in their own way. Yeah.
This one was just, I don't know, I thought it was kind of tedious. But and then actually at the very end of the movie they teased Godzilla and King Kong.
They are gonna be together, yeah. Also, they're gonna do a mini series where Planet of the Apes meet Kong and Kong Skull Island.
What?
the weird thing is, you know, Planet of the Apes always had that time travel thing.
Right.
Like, Charlton Heston was suspended animation for like for a million years.
It was a very long time. It was a few millennia. So
this is going to be like six issues that explore what happens when Cornelius
finds Skull Island.
So they're in the future, and Kong's still there?
Some kind of time travel.
Yeah,
what the hell is Kong eating?
But then does Kong become like the leader of the
apes?
He is large, yeah. So we'll have to see. So
interesting.
Get that at your local comic book store.
Yeah.
Rush right out and get that.
Or don't. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about some other fun stuff.
Okay.
Tiffany's not here, but she did pass on this information about this MoviePass subscription offer.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so they were actually talking about, it's the guy who was the head of one of the backers of Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he was talking about launching an opportunity where you could sign up for a $9.99 a month subscription and go to as many movies as you want during that time.
It would be a limited time thing. The $10 a month would be a limited time thing just to get demographics for it.
Oh. Right.
To find out who's going where into what movies.
Right.
So I think the article I read said he was looking at a year of basic
unlimited
research.
Movies?
Yeah. $10 a month, unlimited movies.
If you only had to pay $10, what movies would you choose to see?
All of them?
All of them, yeah.
Well, and I mean, it is an industry that for a lot of people, I know myself personally, a lot of times I won't see something in the theater that I'm interested in if I don't feel like a theater experience is demanded of
it.
So yeah. If it doesn't have amazing graphics or 3D or something like that, and it's not something on my geek bucket list, then I'll wait for it to come on DVD or, honestly, just to come on some digital streaming service.
Yeah, that's what I did with Kong.
I think it would change how I definitely go see movies, because right now I'll go see, unless it's a date night with Joey or something, or we're doing riff tracks like tomorrow night or whatever, but I'll usually go like a matinee.
Yeah,
and Cockrell Mills will do like 10 in the morning. I'll be known to be in there with like five people watching a 10 a.m. movie 10 a.m. for $5, because I'm like, well, if it's not great, I don't feel quite as bad.
Right.
But once you get $15 is for a ticket now, which is pretty much what it is.
I'll do that at Airsley too, because they do the $5 before 4.
Yeah.
Airsley is one of the great movie theaters to go
But if I could just go in whenever, holy crap.
I feel like they'd all be much more crowded though, if everyone just had unlimited.
I think you're going to get crowded movie theaters for the blockbusters anyway. This might make it harder to actually. And I have a feeling that movie theaters would put those $10 pass people kind of at the back of the line.
Right.
Because if they can make $15 to sell a ticket, they're going to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some limitations. There's going to be some blackout periods and stuff like that. But
it'll be like your free passes that you get from the theater where you can't, you know, you can't use them for opening
weekend. Wait 2 weeks. Yeah.
No Marvel movies or...
Until it's like 8 weeks old or something like that.
Of course, if you're a member of the Charlotte Geeks and you're on the Facebook page, a lot of times you get to go several days early and free.
I see a lot of independent films. I do inhabit art house theaters quite a bit. So this would be like, for me, it would be perfect because I like to go to the Manor in Ballantyne and Park Road.
I love the Manor.
And see just little movies that... You know, there's only five people in there because who else is going to watch a documentary on, you know, 20x24 Kodak photography?
Yeah. Even if this doesn't work out, the gentleman was extremely smart because he got a whole lot of buzz. The website was taken down already because there was so much of a demand.
Yeah.
And AMC has already come out and said, hey, we might sue you.
Yeah.
Which isn't a really smart move. I think they should have just stayed quiet for a minute because now Regal and somebody else has a chance to kind of swoop in and say, no, we'll go along with it.
And frankly, I think Regal... I liked AMC for a very long time, but then they started making their little Stubbs card something you had to pay for.
Yeah.
Which is why I like Regal and Airsley, because I don't have to pay for my specialty card for them. It's basically, you go see this many movies, we're going to let you into the next one free.
Yeah.
You rack up points. I don't feel I should have to pay for a loyalty card because I'm paying to see your
right.
movies.
Right. I think maybe part of it is, I mean, $10 for a year is not a huge amount in comparison to your $10 a month you're paying for Netflix anyway. Mm-hmm. For me, it's the advantages of I can go and buy the ticket in advance and reserve a seat. But I do find myself being like, well, if I have a choice between going to Regal or going to AMC and not paying a per-ticket processing fee, then I might go to AMC.
So. I have to say, though, when they first started doing the Stubbs, it was $30 a year, and which was one of the reasons why, you know, because I used to have an AMC loyalty card. And they said, well, now it's Stubbs, and it's it was like $39.99 a year. And I was like, yes, no.
They do have a free version, though, because I actually have the free card. It just takes longer to accumulate stuff, which is kind of a ripoff. So.
I signed up for it when it was on special for $10 or $15, and I got it, and within the first movie that the three of us went to, I got $5 free off of it. Plus, I didn't have to pay the processing fee. Plus, I got 5,000 points.
Yeah,
so.
I think they learned.
Yeah.
When they first started it, that.
That was shocking, though.
Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah, because my immediate reaction was, well, screw this, I'll go to Regal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now they're doing it to themselves again. No, we're not going to let people, even though we have a contract with this service, if they're going to slash the price down to 10, we're not doing it.
Is Regal doing the thing like AMC is now, where it's like you just walk up and there's like 8 or 9 of these self-service things like at the counter where humans used to be, and it's like just two kids on their cell phone in case you need help.
Stonecrest is like that. Yeah. Stonecrest Regal is like that. The big theaters, your art house theaters, you always have to walk up to somebody because they're small. But Stonecrest, I noticed, did away when they did their remodel. They did away with all of the windows. It's all automated now, which I thought was sad.
Yeah, the thing that annoyed me is that because I signed up and paid for my card online, I don't have a card to swipe. I have to enter in the 27 digits.
Oh my god,
to take them
so many digits.
And the other thing too is, like, we had already bought tickets to the Riff Tracks Doctor Who tomorrow, and then we went to go see The Big Sick, and it actually spit out all of the tickets that we had bought. So then, like, now if you remember, like, Riff Tracks last year allowed you to buy like the whole season ahead of time.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to keep track of where those tickets are for 4 months. I'm like, do you know me? That's not a good idea.
Thanks for reminding me.
I couldn't find the book that I brought to the doctor last week, and it was sitting on the console right next to me. So, not a good idea. But anyway.
Yeah,
So, also wanted to remind you guys, check out the community calendar. It's at charlottegeeks.com/calendar.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great way for you to find out what kind of cool things are going on in the area, even if they're not an official geek meet. That's where you would find out about QueenCityComedy.com. yeah, because we're never going to let Caleb forget that. Anyway, all right, so let's talk a little bit about our movies and shows for the week. Carol.
My stories.
Talk about your twin.
Tell us about Days of Our Lives. What's going on?
I was totally like, because Sunday night I went to roast a friend at a birthday party. And
like you do.
I was complaining that I was missing my stories. Twin Peaks, we got 4 episodes left. I am so loving this show, and I will be so sad when it is gone. But this week we had Andy got sucked up into the White Lodge, and if you're a Twin Peaks fan, you know what I'm talking about. And I got really scared that something was going to happen to Andy, and Andy is such a precious character. I was like, don't hurt my Andy. We got some news about Evil Coop and Good Coop. It's just, this is such a unique show. It probably sounds like insanity coming out of my mouth right now with Black Lodge and White Lodge and Evil Coop and Good Coop and strange blind women falling out of the sky. But it's David Lynch, and it actually is starting to make sense, which I don't know if that is because it's making sense or it's because I'm weird. So probably a little of both. But the visuals in the show are just amazing. I think, you know, I know a lot of people think David Lynch is pretentious, and you say you get it, but you don't. Like, actually, I think he's brilliant, and I think he's one of the best directors out there. And I'll be really sad to see the show go, because I think it's the last thing he's going to do.
Mm.
I think he's going to retire.
So he's going to go back to his art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to go back to his strange art, where he left meat rot out in the backyard for 3 weeks and then put it on a canvas. Because he's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Speaking of cookouts...
No, we remember them with my stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of cookouts, there's a dragon on Game of Thrones, and he cooked a lot of Lannisters.
I saw a flaming sword flying around Facebook today. So,
you get that next week.
Yeah.
That is Beric.
Because it's leaked, huh?
Well, yeah.
I think that was in the preview, too.
It was in the preview. Okay. It's Beric Dondarrion, and he is known for his flaming sword.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because he's a follower of the Lord of Light. But, The actual episode was leaked online. HBO accidentally... they didn't necessarily... It wasn't necessarily leaked. HBO accidentally uploaded it to certain European services early.
Okay.
And people immediately threw it online.
Oh, right. Of course.
So this episode is probably out there somewhere. You could probably see it. Of course, the scripts for the entire rest of the season have been leaked online for weeks.
Oh.
So if you want to know what's going to happen the next 2 weeks, because there's only two episodes left... for the season, you could find them very easily.
Oh, don't do it.
Yeah,
let's see.
There's no point. This is a 7-episode season. It's not
I heard they arrested like 4 people in Vietnam for doing some of the hacking or something like that. So.
People, come on. It's a TV show. Just watch.
Right. Just watch and enjoy. The show. That's what
you know.
The point is.
Watch and enjoy. Mm. But we had Jon Snow being Jon Snow, and he is going to go catch himself a White Walker so he could bring it to Cersei.
Can I say, I think that's so you want, do you guys watch it?
Yeah.
I'll quickly say, I think that's the dumbest thing that's ever happened on the whole damn series.
I have to say though, it's like the A-team getting together to go get a
Their plan is to go capture a zombie, a white, if you know, is the actual term. There's a giant horde of whites. They want to go capture one and bring it to their enemy queen, Cersei, to prove to her that they're real. And I was just like, "That you're going to walk up to this giant horde, somehow, like, take one. And bring it back.
Get away from the rest of them.
Instead of, like, I don't know, Dany using her dragon to fly up there and see them.
Dany's
I was just like,
from a safe distance.
This is just a dumb plan.
Dany's being an idiot right now. And, you know, she doesn't necessarily believe Jon Snow either.
Right.
It
was just a frustrating episode. I love it so much.
I love it. And then I was thinking, why are only, like, 6 of them going out?
Yeah.
Where are the rest of the wildlings?
6 to capture a...
There's Jon Snow
That's
and
not plan,
Tormund and the Hound and Beric and
Gendry.
Thoris and Gendry was back. Gendry finally stopped rowing. And I absolutely love the fact that they threw that joke in there, because the Gendry is a bastard of Robert Baratheon, who was the king in the very first few episodes. And at the end of season 3, he's seen, you know, he basically escapes death and rows off in a rowboat.
Mm-hmm.
And the actor playing him on Twitter once, somebody asked, "Where's Gendry?" And he posted a picture of himself in a rowboat. It's like, still rowing. And he finally came back this past episode. And one of the first things said to him by Davos was, "I just thought you were still rowing." So it was kind of a nice inside joke there. But it was nice to see Gendry back. And he's out there with his five buddies and his hammer looking for White White. And I'm like, you guys are so stupid.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
But, you know, Dany's going to swoop in and try and save him because, you know, Jon Snow is all cute and brooding.
Well, speaking of being out on the water, Dark Ark?
Yeah, Dark Ark. So kind of what it sounds like, it's basically, well, maybe not. It's we have the Noah's Ark. I don't know if fans of the Bible or... You've heard of it.
I've heard of it. I watched that Russell Crowe movie.
Oh, well, you got the whole thing then. Yeah. So this is an alternative tale of an evil sorcerer who's the gods that he worships say, okay, it started to rain. Takes time when the earth is being flooded. And says you have to collect all the fucked up vampires, werewolves, and somehow the unicorns accidentally get thrown on this dark arc. We have to save all these mythical creatures like griffins and all these other things.
That actually sounds cool. That,
yeah,
I'm kind of into really that. Cool. What is that? A movie or a?
It's a comic book. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a comic book coming out, and it's a guy writing it as Cullen Bunn, who I've met a couple times at Heroes Con, and he just writes like crazy, and it's gonna be for Aftershock Comics, but he writes Deadpool and a bunch of other series and stuff like that, but. It looks really good, and he had the idea for a couple of years, and he just couldn't find a publisher that was interested. And Aftershock said, "Yeah, we'll do that." So.
That's cool.
That's actually pretty cool.
So yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about the other comics, Secret Weapons.
Yeah. So this nothing to do with Secret Wars or Marvel. Nothing related to that at all. This
they're
is
not Secret Lovers because I immediately put
secret
that to that.
Lovers.
Secret Weapons.
Yeah, that's right. See, that's you should totally do the comedy music improv.
See,
I'm telling you,
it.
You got it.
You
go
got
ahead.
The chops. There you go.
But you can find out about Queen City Comedy.
There you go. By the end of these episodes, they're going to be like, I'm not going to that website because I've heard it so many times.
Now we're the foxes. yeah, so Secret Weapons, it's Valiant Comic Books is putting this one out. And it's just a 4-issue miniseries. So if you don't want to get into a whole long thing with continuity, this is probably the thing for you. But it's kind of a mix of the Bad News Bears and the Uncanny X-Men from the 60s. it's by the guy who wrote the screenplay for Arrival, Eric Hessener, he was nominated for an Academy Award for that screenplay, and artist Patricia Martin. But one of the characters is a Sikh, Sunil, and he wears a turban, and he gets picked on a lot on these type of things. But his superpower is he can become impenetrable, make himself so hard you
that's
can't harm him. The only problem is he's like a statue; he can't move either. So that's the drawback. So it's sort of like these powers that are great, but not so
also
great.
Kind of suck.
So he basically just becomes this statue that can't be beat up. So, but it comes in handy through the series. But it's really funny, and also kind of like the early X-Men back in the day. It has a lot of overtones of racial things and things like that. So, which actually kind of fits right now in the current
grand
things
scheme
are going
of things.
On, unfortunately, yeah. So, but check it out; it's fun. And issue 3 just came out this week, so.
And if you're into comics, definitely come and join us this Sunday. We're going to be over at Charlotte Comic Con. We will have a table there. We will have, if you haven't watched one of the unboxing videos, which Caleb actually helped me do one today. We got some amazing stuff from DC Entertainment, so huge shout out to them. Beautiful stuff, truly epic and legendary. Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn. Just amazing stuff. Would you not agree, Carol?
Yes, it was amazing stuff.
So
absolutely great.
Yeah, wondrous Wonder Woman.
Wondrous stuff.
But we are going to be over at Charlotte Comic Con. That's going to be from 10 to 5 on Sunday. That's going to be at the Concord Embassy Suites where they have bacon, we've heard.
Bacon.
And we'll be at the table, but we'll also be giving away Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 movie-style posters. As well as Groot earbud charms that you could put little baby Groots on the little earbud cords. So,
they're adorable.
If you want to see copies of it, go watch the unboxing video that we have at the Geek Gala page. But definitely come and check that out. So this past Sunday, I actually got to go to Queen City Comic Con. And Starnslord, you actually came and rescued me at the end because it was so busy. I literally didn't get to eat. I was there. We got there at 9:30. People were already there. We set up the table. They opened the doors at 10. And at 4:30, when you showed up with McDonald's, which I ate all, I will tell you how hungry I was. I didn't realize I was putting the lime wedge in my mouth. And at one point, I was so hungry, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to swallow it. But I couldn't do it. Adam Nelson, I don't know how you ate that lemon whole. I just pull it out. But I did. I was just like chewing on the line. It was squirting all in my mouth. And I'm like, I'm just going with it because I am so hungry. It was a salad.
I got her salad. Yeah,
you had a chicken salad. But anyway, but Queen City Anime Con, they were hoping for 500 people. They had 1,200 wristbands, ran out. And they count that they took in ticket sales for over 1,800 attendees. And for a first year, one day anime con. That
on a
was
Sunday.
Truly
a Sunday,
two panel rooms, and one was a game room, one panel room, and a vendor room. They did an amazing job. So hats off to Allie and Connor, who are here on the podcast. They did a great job. We had a lot of fun meeting everybody. One of the funnest parts for me was I was sitting there talking to somebody about the Muggles Market, and in my little spiel phase like I am, and this guy said, "Hey, you're the girl on the podcast." And turned around, and it was our Uber driver from when we were very drunk and made him take us over to a bari to get donuts from Joe's Doe's.
Yeah.
And we gave him one of the maple bacon donuts in spite of our best efforts. And hey, guy, so nice to see you. And I got to meet his lovely wife in the whole nine yards. And we liked him because he had a Groot on his dashboard, and Matt had had a couple of drinks, so he kept telling him how much he liked his Groot on the dashboard. But anyway, we're so glad you listened.
Great story, yeah.
But it was so much fun. So Queen City Anime Con, well done. And for any of you who are listening that we met on Sunday, it was so great to meet you guys. We hope we get to see you at Charlotte Comic Con and then again at the Muggles Market and Geek Gala in October. Or at Friday night.
Or Friday at QueenCityComedy.com.
See, we did it.
There you go.
We did it. So Caleb did okay the second time around. So last but not least, we started watching Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
How far are you?
we got to the first episode of season 2.
Okay. Yeah.
So far.
So we're doing good.
That's about where I stopped because I was like, there's 10 more seasons.
No, we're going to keep going, but here's the thing.
We're in a rush, so.
We don't like horror. You know this.
I know.
So we're sitting there, every single episode, we're like, why are we watching this? Why are we holding each other's hand and we're like curled up on the couch?
Because it is actually kind of a...
It's scary.
It's scary for
it's
TV.
Very
I was like,
scary.
This is broadcast TV? This is terrifying to me.
I'm sorry for those people who where my high-pitched squeal was like there. But yeah, it's scary stuff, dude. Very scary.
So the one actor in Supernatural... I was probably like 10 or whatever. When did it start? Do you know what year off the top of
your head? 2005.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
It's like about to be season 14 or 15 or 13 or something.
13,
yeah.
That's the show that was on like CW or WB.
Yeah.
That. Okay, so he was in a movie. It was like a TV movie called Dinotopia that I loved. It's that actor. And so I was like, oh, I'll watch this new show he's doing. And it like gave me nightmares for like, you know...
Especially like the first episode where his mom is killed by being on the ceiling and
on
fire.
Yep, that was it. And I was like, well, no.
Yeah, they're on season 13.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been told it's really great through season 5, and then it kind of goes through some swirls, and then it kind of comes back up again. So we'll see. But we're definitely, I mean, as scared as we are, and we are huge scaredy cats.
It's really
and
well
here's
done.
The thing you need to know about Starz-Lord. He talks to the TV the whole time.
Okay.
He'll be like, oh no, why are you doing that? Don't go in that house. Don't go in. And then I'll look over and I'll go, sorry. And he's like, oh no. So, yeah.
That's funny.
I was like, you have to stop being scared because you're making me scareder.
I'm just jumping when I was just
But on that note, you know,
what?
Yeah. On that note, we'll stop.
Sure.
Yeah, I have another thing that I want to talk to you, but it's going to make me ranty, and I think we're all laughing right now, so let's just end on a good note.
Okay.
And we can save that for next week. It will keep. Trust me, I'll still be ranty next week about it.
Okay.
But anyway, so Caleb, thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank
you guys
for
letting me come out and hang out.
Did I mention the eclipse on the thing?
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Eclipse next week.
Sure.
It is on the 21st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is Monday.
Don't look at the sun.
Don't look directly at the sun. Please get yourself an author or a certified pair of eclipse glasses. Don't buy cheapies. And don't buy sunglasses. Don't think that's going to work.
They
no. Or make yourself your own little eclipse viewer. Our friend Jim Craig has... instructions on how to do that on Facebook.
And we'll share that on the Guardians of the Geekery page.
Right. Okay. Or you can just, you know, do a Google search. You can make yourself a little shoebox eclipse viewer.
Mm-hmm.
But, go ahead.
So I was going to say, I have this fear that, like, I'd say the majority of people know don't look at the eclipse. But, like, out of the, you know, millions of people in America, there's probably a percent of people that don't know not to look at it. So Or we'll do it anyway. So I have this fear that, like, thousands of people... 2 weeks from now, we're going to be blind. Like,
the thing is, too, like you can look for a few seconds.
It's
but
like
I was
looking at the sun.
Yeah. Well, I was reading today, if you get it before it's complete eclipse, like it's partial, and you just try to look at it, and you can still look at it, but you don't actually have pain receptors in your cones of your eyes, and you can really do permanent damage and not realize it because it's not like it's going, you know, it's not burning. It's just, all of a sudden you're just messed up.
And you know, you'd like to think that our listeners are intelligent enough. Jim Craig, who has worked with the museum for years and has been on the podcast, actually was talking online about how they had some people with past, like, meteor showers or, you know, astral events, where people would call up and complain to the museum that they were hosting an event like that on a Sunday night when it was a church night or a school night, and they shouldn't move it. It's like, do you realize that these are not controllable instances?
You can't move the sun. You know, we can't say, hey, you know.
It's not the Truman Show, or it's a big dome. And we're just like,
could you possibly, Zeus, Apollo, could you possibly wait until Wednesday?
Yeah.
I've got a meeting. I can't.
No, Wednesday's prayer meeting, so you can't do that either. Oh. So. But anyway, so just be aware, Monday during the day, it's going to feel like night, and it's not night. So,
and if your boss is like a total prick, we'll let you watch it. I think 7 years, somebody said, 7 years will be another one.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So.
But yeah, we're supposed to get a pretty good view of it. It's going right through. I mean, we're not going to get a total eclipse in Charlotte.
I think Columbia is the closest.
Is the closest to it's getting Charlotte, a total. But we're going to get, I think, like 90%.
Yeah.
90 to 95%. So it's going to be really close to total where we are.
Yeah.
And make sure August 25th to watch Amazon's The Tick and find huge video efforts paid off. Ooh. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to episode 168.
I'll be watching it because I love The Tick.
Yeah.
The Tick. All right. On that note.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com.
You can't find us on Facebook, but we're dancing.
facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG.
Look at the moves.
He's doing the robot over here.
That's my only move.
Oh, now he's doing the worm.
No, I'm scratching my back now.
I was like, how do you do that in your chair?
Wow.
Oh, he's doing a backflip.
We talked over it again.
We always do.